Hey, I'm David Brown, and you are listening to Sentinel Watch from the First Church of Christ Scientist in Boston, Massachusetts. Joining us today, we're talking with Nate Frederick. He is a lecturer and a practitioner, in other words, a Christian Science healer. Nate, when we talk about healing and we talk about God in the same thought, I think a lot of people, that's a somewhat new topic, and it certainly does run counter to a lot of what we hear in the press about situations that need healing, from sicknesses to relationships and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So when you say healing, but you're relying really on God to do the healing, what are you talking about there?
Well, I think that blanket term healing is just about harmony. And so whether it's in a relationship or a body or a career, whenever we're experiencing discord or conflict, I think there's a way to understand more about God's nature and who we are as God's expressions that help us get a spiritual sense of ourselves, a sense of ourselves as existing here to express God, divine love. And as we do that, we can begin to find harmony in our life in a way that's consistent, in a way that's just wonderful.
You know, it's interesting when you say God, I bet you there are some people listening who are genuinely seeking something new, something that can provide answers and direction for them as they search out harmony in their own lives. But they come across this concept of God, and sometimes it's a little hard to know what to make of that idea. When you use the term God, what are you referring to?
For me, God is such a logical thing to not only have faith in, believe in, but to understand. I think God is just the concept of what created everything, what's maintaining everything. And if you just take a step back, all of us seem to assume that we're self-made, that we go through the day thinking that we need to make something of ourselves and we're making our own decisions. Uh-huh. But if we take a step back, we're all in a life together. And there's a life that's creating us and sustaining us. It's making this moment. We're not doing it by human will. And life is one word I use for God. It's what we all belong to, what we're all in. It's what's creating this moment. And it's something bigger and beyond ourselves. And it's not a human psyche or will or just an individual entity separate from every other entity. Mm-hmm. There's one thing behind it all. We could call it life. And when you feel really at one with life, you're like walking out in nature and you don't feel separate from the trees mm-hmm. and the sky, you know, right. You feel unified. You feel the feeling is love. And we also call God love. Love is that sense of the unity of being. For me, life and love are really the same thing from different angles. And Christian Science uses a lot of other words to help unpack what we mean by God.
Such as?
Well, mind is another one. mind is behind everything, and I think it's more than the human mind. I think we're all united in a universal mind. That's if you talk to great musicians or people who spend a lot of time praying in their lives, that you know they'll have many experiences they could share with you about inspiration that just comes from something bigger and larger than their own individual minds. I would call that God.
You're suggesting that there's a better way of going about healing, not by beginning with, say, yourself or what the senses are telling you.
That's absolutely right. I had a friend, actually, it was just a couple days ago. They knew that I was a Christian Scientist, and they knew that I spent a lot of my time praying for others and helping others find healing in their lives. And they said, you know, I really admire you because you think so positively about things. And they were giving me a little praise. And then they pivoted and then they said, but you know, that's just so impractical, you know, that the world is just full of evil. And they were kind of arguing with themselves, like, I want to believe that, but it's just not practical. It's not really true. The world is just full of evil and of discord that is just insoluble. And I kind of had to laugh because I just think Christian Science and thinking out from God is the most logical, practical thing in the world. It really has helped me find solutions to problems that I face every day in my life. Can I give you a recent example?
Please do. Yeah, I'm interested in how you actually approach this from a practical standpoint.
Yeah, yeah. I was thinking about a marathon I ran this spring, and this was a marathon that occurred right when things started to open up after COVID started to mitigate a bit, and events started to open up here in the Northeast. And frankly, I was thinking a bit negatively about this event because I kept thinking, you know, they're probably just trying to take my money. They're not going to really have this event this year. They'll postpone it to next year, or it'll be a virtual event.
Yeah.
And I wasn't really training very much. And there was just some other limitations I felt that were in my thought. And it turned out that as I started just half-heartedly training for this, I started to develop a problem in my hip, or the top of one of my legs, and my leg would just seize up after, you know, 6, 7, 8 miles, and I really couldn't run anything more than a half marathon in preparation for this a marathon. And then it turned out that it was happening, and so I started to think, you could say, positively about the event. I started to think, well, at least I could go there, do my best, root others on, and I could just accept the limitation that I was dealing with. But I started to think to myself, well, this is not what I've experienced through Christian Science. Christian Science isn't just thinking positively while accepting a limitation. Mm. It's really helping us look out from God and seeing the unlimited nature of our own lives. Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer of Christian Science, once said, the son of I am, referring to God, is I can.
Wow.
And the more we can begin to think out from God, we can really sense this infinite ability that we all have to express good at any time. And what I started to do in my own prayer at the time was, I felt like I was so stuck in my own little problem, mm-hmm. thinking about, you know, just on this hamster wheel, thinking about my own physical issue. And I started to really expand my love and started to pray for everyone who was running this event, that this would be an experience of freedom for everyone. And I started to think about myself instead of just as a physical entity with some physical problems. I started to think about God as spirit itself, and that I was the image and likeness of spirit, as it says in the first chapter mm-hmm. of Genesis. And, you know, even though Jesus isn't with us anymore physically, what he expressed, the Christ, the love and truth which animated him, the inspiration of the Christ really is throughout the Bible and throughout the writings of Mary Baker Eddy, who discovered Christian Science. And I was reading a lot of things in the Bible and in Science and Health, the Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, and just getting really inspired. And I started to feel like it talks about in 1 Corinthians 13 in the Bible, this mm-hmm. you know, that beautiful letter about love, mm-hmm. where it just says that at the end that faith, hope, and love remain, and the greatest of these is love. I started to feel this sense of hope just kind of bubbling up that maybe, you know, maybe I can run this marathon. Maybe it's not based upon my physical training, but maybe it's based upon God. You know, Jesus said, the spirit quickeneth and the flesh profits nothing. And I really felt that this inspiration from God could animate me, could propel me forward. And I have to say, David, it really seemed nothing less than a miracle when it came on marathon day. I didn't feel any pain in my leg at all. I mean, I couldn't run a mile the day before without pain. And I was able to run the whole marathon faster than I had run a marathon before. I was able just to feel an incredible sense of love throughout the whole thing, that this just this love just motivating me and propelling me. And I just felt it for everyone doing that marathon, and it was just a remarkable experience. But it wasn't something that was supernatural or unusual. It felt real, right, natural, beautiful experience.
Yeah, it sounds really awesome, and one that I think a lot of folks can relate to when you feel like there's something that's standing in your way or some kind of obstacle, but you sort of leapfrogged that. And you talked about an idea that I want you to unpack a little bit more. You were referring to God, and you talked about I am.
Mm-hmm.
Could you explain that? Because I think a lot of us think I am, fill in the blank, then our names, right?
Yeah.
So when you talked about God as I am, go back to that and explain what you mean by that.
Well, in every philosophy or science or theory of life, you have to have what's called a first principle, something that can't be explained in terms of anything else. You know, if you think that life is material, then you would say, well, what's a human body? It's mm-hmm. made up of mm-hmm. Organ systems. What are organ systems made up of? Organs. What are organs made up of? And you go down the line, you know, you get to cells and eventually to atoms. And materialists have never been able to find a base constituent of life. Like life is all made up of atoms, for example, you could think. But then you look inside the atom and it's 99.99999 so many nines, empty space. You know, it seems like there's really nothing there. It's a yeah. vacuous concept. But in Christian Science, we start from the idea that God is fundamental. Another way to think about God as principle. Hmm. And you start to find that, you know, that word I am, it just means that which is fundamental. It can't be explained in terms of anything else. It just is. And so another way to think about it is that word eternal. For something to be eternal is that it's not that it just goes on forever, but it's outside of time and space. Huh. You know, you take mathematics, 2 + 2 = 4, it's outside of time and space. It's just eternally true, right?
Yeah.
And so when I think of what is God, I think of that which is fundamental. It doesn't change. It's the basis of everything that's right and real.
So what you're describing is truly a kind of taking a different standpoint when you're thinking about a situation. You're not beginning with the atomized version, which is what the senses may communicate to you about the world. But you're beginning with a concept about the nature of being. Sort of when you say I am, you're talking about isness in a sense, right? This is the truth is where you're beginning.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, when you read the Bible, Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And he really felt that what he was teaching was eternal. It was true for all time. And Jesus' teachings, I think, could be summed up in that beautiful word, love. And I think love is behind everything, the unity of being, harmony. You know, as humanity progresses and they find more intelligent solutions mm-hmm. to things, those solutions that we find have always existed. They're just are discovered, right? And so I think anything is possible in life. We haven't always been able to discover and utilize everything about life yet. But through the practice of Christian Science, we begin to understand how to utilize the kind of thinking that Jesus did, the logic that Jesus used to bring healing, to heal sickness and limitation and discord in our lives. And it's not a mystery. It's something that can be studied and applied.
You know, it's interesting when I hear you describing, you know, things like love and life, principle, mind. There's a commonality for where you're beginning, and that is that these aren't, I suppose, things that most of us would consider to be somehow materially tangible, right?
Yeah.
That there is something there that's bigger about it. Dare I say spiritual? you know, that's one of those words that a lot of people have difficulty with. Spirit, what is spirit, right? Mm-hmm. But it sounds like what you're hinting at is you're beginning with, in healing, you're beginning with a vision of reality as fundamentally spiritual.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think for me, that word spiritual means mental and good. It means that consciousness is behind everything, but that everything also has that nature of good or love. I think the world is kind of hypnotized in this belief that things are material because of the usefulness of technology, but they're often miss out on what life fundamentally is when they look through things through that paradigm. You know, to say something is material, it's saying that it is captured in a body of limited descriptions. So if you were to describe me, for example, and you just you start to list out every little parameter, you know, how tall I am, you know, what color eyes I mm-hmm. have, you know, mm-hmm. how I speak English, every little parameter, and you were able to make a simulacrum or, you know, a simulation in a computer yeah. of me, right?
Right.
Based upon those descriptions, you know, translated into, ones and zeros. If you got every description a material description and it made a simulation, that still wouldn't be me.
Yeah, just right? be an avatar, right?
I mean, it would just be an avatar. Yeah. But why? Why is that so? Because it's missing mind. It's missing spirit. It's missing real life. It's missing soul. It's missing all that we call God in Christian Science. And so a material description, it never jumps out of that description and becomes a living entity with consciousness, with mind, with soul, all the things we really love about life. And we, when we think about it deeply enough, we realize constitutes what we care about and what really remains in life.
I think that's really interesting, especially, I mean, if you are inclined to have thoughts about the nature of existence, wow, what a lot mm-hmm. to chew on here. Mm-hmm. But quite sure. often, people are just looking for practical healing, right? I mean, quite often yeah. people have issues or problems that they feel like they're facing. And it's sometimes when we introduce this idea of spirit, it can seem like it's somehow, you know, ephemeral or not real or somehow out there somewhere. So could you give us an example of, like, say, how you, as a Christian Science practitioner, mm-hmm. would approach someone who says, hey, I've got this particular issue? I mean, can you think of an example of how you would approach helping someone?
Mm-hmm. Well, literally, just moments, it was like 9 minutes before this podcast, somebody emailed me, and I was actually thinking about them. I'll share a little healing example from their own life. This is someone I've prayed for in the past and a wonderful Christian Scientist. And she was dealing with an issue where for 25 years, she had these terrible relations with her in-laws. They didn't approve of her marriage. And there were 6 members of her extended family who refused to speak to her and her husband. And it was something that weighed so heavily on her. It was just, you know, and she tried to pray about this. She tried to think positively, even though they were always judging her so badly. But that the influence of this negativity seemed so strong. It seemed to just weigh so heavily on her. And it was always hard to pray for long periods, I think. And, you know, I shared some ideas with her, and she was inspired by a lecture I gave. And she eventually wrote to me when this healing was complete. And to kind of summarize what happened to her is that there eventually was a shift after all those years praying about this, where she finally realized that the negativity coming at her was just not substantial. If you're not expressing the principle of life that is God, it's like not expressing the principle of math. So if you see 2 + 2 = 5, you just know that it's wrong because it doesn't express the principle, and you're not influenced by that equation if someone just was saying it a lot. Mm-hmm. And in the same way in Christian Science, when someone is expressing negativity and they're not expressing God to you, you start to learn that there's actually no substance in that. And I think she was learning that. And she was learning to rely on God more deeply, get outside of herself. You know, there's this little line in Mary Baker Eddy's work, Science and Health with the Key to the Scriptures, where she says that whatever holds human thought in line with unselfed love receives directly the divine power. And she was really holding to some spiritual ideas that she was reading in Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures that really helped her keep her thought in line with divine love. And she started just to feel this influence of the Christ, this animation of good. She talked about dozens of ideas all of a sudden coming from God mm-hmm. that she felt impelled to do these incredibly kind acts for her in-laws, like things that just took a lot of humility. But to her astonishment, just one of these acts after the next was, you know, the in-laws just accepted them with open arms, and they started to have all these harmonious interactions all of a sudden. And she says, now I love to share with people that the relations in my family today are 100% loving. The path to healing was long, but fortified by solid steps of truth. And so, you know, now she just has these wonderful relationships with all those in-laws, and that chronic issue was eventually totally healed.
What did you say, unselfed? Could you hit me with that one once more?
Yeah, whatever holds human thought in line with unselfed love receives directly the divine power.
Man, that's really interesting, because I was thinking about when you take self out of it, that can really be key, because then you're focused on getting ourselves away from the self and focusing more on the principle of the thing. That opens up answers.
Yeah. And I think if you read the Old Testament, there was this sense of an eye for an eye, kind of a human justice vision of the world. And that's where a lot of people are today. They want to be right. They want to find situations that are just. They want people to act just and right towards them.
Right.
But Jesus really uplifted thought to show our reason for existing is loving, is to express divine love, God. And real love doesn't look for something in return. It's not a quid pro quo deal. I'll love you as long as I'm getting the love back. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's where a lot of us stop. You know, we try to love, and then if we're not getting it back, we think, well, okay, well, it's not fair for me to keep loving. It's a waste of my time. But I think in this case, you could see that this woman was really touched so deeply by God, by divine love, that she was given this power that transcended her own human ability just to keep on loving. She felt like it was, you know, God's ideas that were coming to her, and she was just obeying. And, you know, those ideas held her in line with this unselfed love that heals, this love that comes right from God. And I found that that takes a lot of humility. And it's not positive thinking that often gets us there. It's often an abandonment of our belief that our thinking is going to get us there, and it's a reliance on God, the divine mind.
Isn't that interesting? Because you're really delineating a break from positive thinking. A lot of folks feel like, well, my motives are good. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to be fair and I want to do right and all. But what you're describing is that if we're stuck in this place where our sense of the good isn't as expansive as good, that in a way we're missing out on a lot of the laws of being that can help resolve situations, that actually do resolve situations.
That's absolutely right. And I think often people make decisions in life informed upon what the physical senses say to them. And of course, you know, we have all sorts of optical illusions that show us that often what we see is not true, and the physical senses are limited. You know, the human eye can only see, you know, just a little bit of the spectrum of light compared to like a mantis shrimp or, you know, other animals in the animal kingdom. But I think, you know, just like you could see 2 + 2 = 4 on a chalkboard next to 2 + 2 = 5, we know that one of those things you're seeing is real because it expresses an invisible principle, right? It's an invisible principle that brings harmony. And the same thing in our life, we often feel feelings. When we feel something like hatred or jealousy or inadequacy or impatience, we often say, well, I feel it. Of course it's real because I feel it. Mm-hmm. But again, if it's not expressing God, then just because you feel it doesn't make it real, just like you could see something that is not real because there's not a principle behind it. And this is really helpful because I think the study of Christian Science, it gives us a feel for what's true, and it also allows us to logically begin to reason out from what's true.
You know, I want to pick up on something that you just said, and you talked about Christian Science. Mm-hmm. I am seeing what you're describing, the appeal to spiritual sense, the appeal to a higher sense of who we are, as absolutely crucial, and this being scientific in terms of the ways that the law operates. But what makes it Christian Science? I mean, you referred to Christ earlier, and I let that go by. But I want to loop back a little bit and ask you, what makes it Christian?
Well, it's just simply that it's following the way of Jesus. I think, you know, I've got a little 4-year-old at home, and on a good day, she worships me. She thinks that I can meet all of her needs, and she thinks that I can supply her with everything she wants and more. And I'm happy to do that at this stage of her life, but I hope one day that she grows up and does the things that I've done in my own life and even greater. And I think that's what Jesus said to his disciples, who were essentially, you know, adolescents or toddlers in the spiritual life. They were just learning how to heal like he did, just learning how to do good like he did. And worship is a wonderful thing, to feel God's presence, to be grateful for good, just to get outside of our own concerns and think about God. The worship of God is wonderful, but Christian Science brings us beyond just a mere sense of Christian worship to beginning to see how Jesus perceived life and how to replicate the good works that he did. And I think that's a higher practice of Christianity, not just to worship God, but to actually think as Jesus thought and do as he did. He said, go and do likewise to his followers. And so I think that's where you get the Christian aspect of Christian Science.
That's really, really interesting. So, for instance, and I don't want to put you on the spot here, but
I don't mind.
When you think about how Jesus approached healing, you know, people referred to him as the Christ. How did Jesus approach healing as you read it in the Bible? I mean, what we've been talking about, is was he basically turning first to God and not what was in front of him? I guess that's the starting point.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of things that Jesus said in the Bible that gives us some insight to how he thought about God. I think the way Jesus perceived God is so vastly beyond my own demonstration. I can't say exactly how he understood God, because it's beyond me. But there are some things which I've learned over the years that I've found point me in the right direction. The way that Jesus saw himself, I think, is key to understanding how he approached life and how he healed.
Say more about that.
Yeah. So, you know, he started off Jesus of Nazareth, and people said, what good can come of Nazareth? Because he was defined by a limited place. And just like we often define ourselves by limited, you know, I'm from this town, or this color skin, or, you know, I have this job, and that's what defines me. But he started to call himself the Son of God. He started to define himself by God, and he called God his Father, no human. He didn't see himself as the image of another human or following in a human's footsteps, but he really saw himself as the image of God. But the Bible doesn't say that just Jesus was the image of God. It says in the first chapter that man is the image and likeness of God, which includes all of us, male and female. And so he said that God is greater than he was, but he also said that he was at one with God. Hmm. So, you know, an analogy I like to think about is like, it's like the sun and its rays, that if God is like the sun and each ray of light is the expression of the sun, you can't have the sun without the rays, you can't have rays without the sun. But the sun is greater than any one ray, right? So I think Jesus saw himself really as the expression of God and not the product of any material process or material history.
Well, that was Jesus. I mean, can we see ourselves as the expression of God the way Jesus saw himself as the expression of God?
Yeah, that's exactly what Christian Science teaches. That's what it's about. It's about how to see yourself as Jesus did. In the book of Philippians, it says that we can have the same mind that was also in Christ Jesus. And so I take that as a beautiful promise, and that's what Christian Science fulfills, I see. It shows us the science or that knowledge that Jesus had, and how to begin to humbly, thought by thought, think as Jesus thought, and begin to see ourselves as the image or product of God, being animated by God, and not influenced by a material past, or not defined exclusively by a material body or a body of work we've done, or anything like that.
This is I can't help but think of the word radical. This is a radically different way of thinking about how we approach a lot of issues. You know, what you're describing seems like to me a kind of new way of thinking about prayer, rather than sort of getting on your knees and saying, God, will you please help me here? What you're doing is you're actively seeing yourself as part of that singularity of being.
Yeah, that's a beautiful phrase there. Yeah, absolutely. I think sometimes it's a good starting point in prayer just to ask God for more love, or that petition prayer that often orients ourselves to be thinking about God, to position our thought and lives in the direction to God. But we want to go beyond that to see that, just like Jesus understood, that we too are at one with God, that we don't have an existence outside the life that's creating and sustaining us, that is love itself, that is the source of all true and good ideas, that is intelligent, that is eternal. And as we do that, I find that that's where you really find profound and lasting meaning in life, when you really seek to experience God, or not just talk about God or think about God, but to actually have a true experience of God.
Boy, that is truly profound, having that experience of God. There's a marvelous book that Nate has made reference to, written by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer of Christian Science. She wrote a book called Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. The key to the Scriptures, of course, being key to the Bible, in essence. And the first chapter in her book, I have to say, I've recommended to so many people over the years, because it is such a profoundly different way of thinking about our relationship with Spirit. And the title of the chapter is Prayer. And I can heartily recommend it to any seeker for truth right now. If you're thinking about a situation that needs healing, this is a terrific way to begin, with Science and Health and that first chapter on prayer. It's a truly moving chapter, and it'll make you want to read the rest of the book too.
Mm-hmm.
We've been talking with someone who has been powerfully influenced by this book. His name is Nate Frederick, and he is a Christian Science lecturer and a healer, a practitioner. Nate Frederick, thanks so much for taking time to talk with us on Sentinel Watch. It's been great to say hello.
My pleasure, David.
You've been listening to Sentinel Watch. I'm David Brown.
This podcast is produced and copyrighted by the Christian Science Publishing Society.